streaming bandwidth provided by Worship Channels, live streaming made simple. Visit them online at worshipchannels.com. On today's Technobabble, Inside the Mind of a Cameraman.
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Tech No Babble. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford. I'm so glad you've chosen to take a little time to spend a little time with me. I know your time's important, and it really makes me happy to know that you think that what I'm providing here is valuable enough for you to spend a little time with it. So feel free to join the conversation by emailing me, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com, or call toll-free and leave a voicemail, 1-877-763-3246, or if you prefer, 1-877-POD-ECHO. Or join the live chat, like Chris is right now, at churchtechcast.com while we live stream each of these recordings. So this past weekend, I did something that's a little out of the norm for me. There was a time in my life where I did it quite regularly, but probably because of the holiday, there were a lot of people out of town or otherwise occupied. So what happened was my normal post running the video in our satellite campus in Frankfort, Kentucky was taken by someone who's college age and more than capable. So that left me with nothing to do. Well, as it turns out, that worked out perfectly because our main campus didn't have a roving camera person. We call it camera three because it's the third camera position that we added after the first two, which were close follow and wide follow, way back when. So I guess I'm someone who's done it the longest. I was the first third camera person in our current building, and by building I mean the campus itself. So they didn't have any hesitancy of asking me. At first, I didn't even know that I was off from the other campus, so I thought, well, how can I be two places at once? Needless to say, I was happy to do it. And as I was getting my shots, I was thinking, I think about quite a lot of stuff that I forgot that I think about while I'm doing it. So one thing is, this camera is tethered on a long cable, so I'm always thinking, okay, let's make sure that cable's out of my way. Let's make sure I don't kink it, don't cause problems with it. It's a pretty decent-sized cable. It's not just a regular RG6. I think it's a multi-core cable, so it's one that you have to look after. Ideally, we would have a grip to handle it. And I misunderstood my directions on Saturday night because the camera was on sticks with wheels. So they said, hey, you can leave it on the tripod if you want. And I thought that meant, would you please leave it on the tripod? So I left it on the tripod. And while with creativity, sometimes constraints help you, sometimes you want to break out of them as well. So Sunday morning for the 9:30 and 11:30 services, for the performed songs, I stayed on the tripod because that gave me stability, and they were really counting on certain shots. But for worship, the way that we've done it traditionally is looser. So whoever is shooting for worship, they can kind of get in general what they want to do and then move on from there. So I popped that bad boy off the tripod and threw it on my shoulder and got some great shots from there. But some of the things that I was thinking was, I was thinking, okay, have I gotten this shot before? Have I gotten this shot before in this particular song? Can I get a shot that gives us new information? Is there a shot that I can do that can move from one subject to the other? Is there a shot that I can do where I can rack focus, pulling focus from one thing to another? And I was just thinking all these thoughts constantly while I was also thinking, zoom in and focus, zoom in and focus. And that's, of course, the way that you focus a camera that has a zoom lens, is you zoom in as tight as you can, and then you focus it and pull out. So I also was thinking about maintaining my shot. In athletics, they have the concept of the fall through. In fact, my two daughters, my oldest one is just finishing up sixth grade, and my youngest one is just finishing up kindergarten. And they both learned to throw a ball the same way. Trust me, this connects. And so what they do is they make a tee, and then with the ball that has, that's standing straight up with their left hand pointing where they want the ball to go, hold the ball in their right hands, and then bend your elbow and touch your knee with that same elbow. Touch the opposite knee. So what the touch your knee part is follow through, right? It enables you to continue to have good form once technically you've released the ball. In golf, it's the same way. Once you hit the ball, you don't just stop there. You continue through. And a lot of people say that if you work on your follow-through, your game will get better. Same thing in basketball. You see people flick their wrist as they're shooting, and that is part of follow-through. So, as I'm shooting, I was also thinking about follow-through. Now, the reason I was doing that wasn't for good form or anything like that, but it was just to make sure, because the guy that was directing, he likes to do cross dissolves, and so when he says that the next camera after me is up, sometimes I'm still somewhat up. So I remember thinking, okay, hold the shot just a little longer than you normally would. So that, in addition to good shot composition, do I have enough lead room? Do I have enough nose room? What is my next shot? Is there a planned shot that's coming up that I can make sure that I'm setting up well? In fact, there was a time when I had the camera off the tripod. We were in a worship song, and at the end of the worship song, they wanted to have a shot from my camera of our worship leader praying. And then the next shot I had was stage right, maybe 3 feet. And it was a shot of the drama that was the next element. So I had to plan ahead in my mind, okay, as we get towards the end of this song, you want to be over to where you've preset the tripod. As they're finishing up the last chorus or something, pop the tripod, pop the camera onto the tripod. It had a quick release plate, so that wasn't all that difficult. And then compose the shot, focus, get it right, and lock down the tripod so it doesn't move. Because I knew the worship leader was going to be with his mouth pretty close to the microphone. The microphone would stay in place, so that was a good tight shot. And that's what I did. As he's praying, I'm thinking, okay, my next shot, I'm moving stage left 2 or 3 feet, and there will be a park bench there. It's not there now, but it's coming. And as soon as it comes, I'm going to focus on the person that sits down on it and get my shot then. So sometimes there's an element of planning ahead when you're creating a good camera shot as well. Now, in the old days, we didn't have camera control units, so another element that I had to think about was exposure. Now, with a studio camera, you have a gain setting that you want generally to be on low or medium, as low as possible. The shutter speed, you want that to stay fairly constant unless you're doing something. Like for particularly rockin' songs, sometimes we'll play with the shutter speed to make it kind of staticky and frenetic, but generally we don't. So the video gain is something that I could play with. The shutter speed is also something that I could play with, but most of the time neither of those are things that I want to play with during church. So that leaves the iris, the aperture, the f-stop setting. In the old days, I would have to check that from time to time. Now we have camera control units, and there's someone who keeps an eye to that, so I didn't have to keep that in mind. But depending on your situation, you might need to keep that in mind. You might need to, from time to time, adjust the iris to let a little more light in or a little less light. And as I was doing that, I was also, there was something I did a week prior where it was just me shooting for a college. It wasn't a graduation, it was like an honor ceremony. And as I was shooting that, I was thinking, okay, the people are going to be moving, so I want the smallest aperture I can get. If I could get it like f11, that would be great, because that's going to give me a great depth of field, very deep depth of field. Whereas if I had adjusted the camera so that I had the aperture very wide, a wide aperture, while that's going to give me a more artsy look, is also much more difficult to focus. So since I was going to be zoomed in pretty far, again, also affecting the focus and the depth of field, I wanted the aperture to be as narrow as possible so that I had a greater depth of field to play with. So if one set of people was, I don't know, 100 feet from me, but another set was 105 feet from me, because there was some variance, despite the fact that there was a mark on the stage where they were supposed to go, some people stood in front of the mark, some people behind the mark. It was, well, they were college seniors that were doing this, so they didn't have a lot of experience. Some did, I'm sure, but not a lot. So I wanted to have good focus in that amount of distance. So that's something else that you might have on your mind as you're shooting. as you're doing all these things, I want you to concentrate on doing the best that you can. Not because you want perfection, because, by the way, if God wanted it perfectly done, he would do it himself. No, you want to just do the best that you can. That's what excellence is, doing the best you can with what you have. So keep these things in mind and try and get better and better at accomplishing them. And that way, you can go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford. Have a great day.